We're at CJMQ, and today we're talking with Canadian author Ken McGugin, and the author of several best-selling books, I believe four in all, and we'll name them Fatal Passage, Ancient Mariner, Lady Franklin's Revenge, and Race to the Polar Sea. You've won several awards, and you also serve as chair of the Public Lending Right Commission. You're a fellow of the Royal Canadian Geographical Society, and plus you sail in the Northwest Passage as a resort historian with Adventure Canada. So it's quite an honor to have you with us today.
Well, thanks. It sounds like you've done your homework.
Well, hopefully. I don't know a lot about history, so you're going to have to fill me in. But your latest book, this was released this month, I guess, How the Scots Invented Canada.
Yes, indeed.
Great, and exciting news, you're going to be giving a talk at Bishop's University about your book on Friday, October 29th at 4 p.m. at the Bishop's University Bookstore, so we all look forward to that.
And, yeah, I'm hoping to do both a talk and a bit of a slideshow presentation so people get to look at something.
Oh, that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
Good. You're going to do a slideshow presentation.
Well, so, you know, PowerPoint.
Yeah, PowerPoint. I was reading a little bit about the book, so it's very interesting. Never really thought about how the Scots had an influence on Canada. Definitely not the way you're writing about it in your book. So tell us a bit about the book.
Yeah, I was quite surprised myself to discover what I did.
Mm-hmm.
The extent of the Scottish influence, which I trace right up into contemporary times. Some people have written about it before, but usually they finish with the First World War or something, but I bring it right up to today. So I divide the book into three, actually, pioneers, builders, and visionaries. And, you know, so the pioneers are the fur traders and the explorers, people like Alexander Mackenzie, who was the first to reach the Pacific overland and by river, and John Ray, the first to discover the final link in the Northwest Passage. And then, you know, builders, you've got political figures like John A. Macdonald and Nellie McClung, who brought in the vote for women. All kinds of institutions, Globe and Mail was founded by another Scot, George Brown. And then I get into, you know, the visionaries who shape the way we live and think today. People like Tommy Douglas, the father of Medicare, or John Diefenbaker. Nobody realizes he's half Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole bunch of people. Hugh McLennan is another one.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting.
I found it very interesting to discover the extent of the Scottish influence. Interestingly, one of my own ancestors arrived, not too far from Sherbrooke in 1823. His name was John McGugin, and he set up to farm in what was then called St. John's, which is today Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu.
Okay, yeah, that is interesting. Okay, so that's a little bit out of Montreal.
Yes,
okay.
Just south of Montreal there. Well, southwest, I guess, southeast a little bit.
Good, so you definitely have some Scottish ancestry in you then.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And I'm a Quebec boy. I was born in Montreal and raised just north of the city.
Okay. Now, looking up your heritage, is that one of the things that led you to be inspired to write this book?
Not really. What was interesting was when I started working with the material, that is what in turn inspired me to look at my own heritage.
Okay.
And I think that may be one end result for a lot of people, because I began to think, well, just what are my Scottish roots? And I ended up going over to Scotland and with my wife, who's also got some Scottish roots, Sheena Fraser McGugin.
Mm-hmm.
But my roots are, you know, quite complex. I think a lot of Canadians are this way. Scottish, Irish, French, German, Danish Viking. I've got just about everything in me. So I did find it interesting to go back to Scotland and travel around. I guess we spent about 10 weeks in all traveling around to various places where the Scots came from. Those who, came over to this country. But again, I also take it down through second and third and fourth generations. I mean, Norman Bethune, for example, who spent a lot of time in Montreal. He's famous in China for his basically medical missionary work. He came from a long line of doctors and missionaries going back to the Isle of Skye. So again and again, I found people like that who had a Scottish heritage that I didn't really anticipate finding.
Exactly, and probably most of us do have some Scottish in us, as you say. We're definitely a mix of so many different cultures.
Exactly, and I wish I had a dollar for every time already. Someone said to me, you know, I have some Scottish roots. I mean, my name may be Snodgrass or something, mm-hmm. but actually down through my mother's side. I mean, I think of someone like Thérèse Casgrain, who's well known as a feminist leader in Quebec. She had MacDonald, a man named MacDonald was one of her grandfathers. So again and again, or we get to Pierre Elliott Trudeau. I mean, Elliott, that's a Scottish name. His mother was a Highland dancer.
Okay, interesting, very interesting.
I found it so.
Yeah, it is, and I just wish that they had books in school like this, especially when I was going back to school, because it would have made history a lot more interesting.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I try to do. So it's not just blathering on in generalities and, you know, thematically.
Mm-hmm.
I focus on the people, and I try to bring the people to life. And in doing that, I'm trying to show how it happened through the individuals. This woman did this. This man did that. And you know, for example, I think I one of my themes is how the Scots created Canadian diversity. And I think about someone like Major John Norton, who was a Cherokee Scot, a hero of the War of 1812, or James Douglas, who they called him the Scottish West Indian, and he became the father of British Columbia, and Cuthbert Grant, you know, the forefather of the Métis Nation. He was part Scottish, and part French, and part Cree. So, you know, it was that practicing of egalitarian, it's that egalitarian approach to integration that emerged out of the Scottish world.
Good, and as you say in your book, a lot of people think it was a lot of just poverty-stricken people that landed over here, but at the same time, there were some well-educated people and some leaders.
Well, exactly, because, mm-hmm. you know, the Scottish Enlightenment, you know, of the 1700s, really made quite the difference. It produced all kinds of educated, younger people, and the Scottish economy now and then, fairly often, could not really accommodate them. So we here in Canada received a tremendous influx of energetic, well-educated young people, and they had room. They found room in Canada to build something that is really unique in the world. So exactly, that is another of the themes in my book. So it is amazing to think. I mean, the Scots have never really been more than 16% of the Canadian populace. They're 5 million, almost 5 million today. But their influence has been absolutely pervasive.
It's amazing. I know I was reading a little bit about the preacher, I forget the name, and how he got the people to read through making it law or something, that they had to read the Bible.
Yeah, well, that goes back to John Knox,
mm-hmm.
In the 1500s, the Reformation, when the Scottish Reformation was actually unique in that it was a kind of a groundswell from the ground up. In rebellion against the abuses at the time of the Catholic Church, and so John Knox, it's a fascinating story. I won't go on the whole thing, but he believed passionately that people had to read the Bible for themselves. So if you're going to read the Bible, you have to be able to read. You have to be literate. So he set up a system, and then his immediate followers, where everybody had to learn how to read. So it was that system set up in the late 1500s and into the 1600s that eventually gave rise very early to the Scottish Enlightenment. The Scots had the highest percentage of literacy in all of Europe. So that was how that extremely high literacy and education came into being, and so led to those people. Well, that was one of the factors involved in the in the peopling of Canada.
That's amazing. Extremely interesting.
Yeah. Thanks. I tend to agree.
It is. It's very interesting. Definitely a book to have and keep. So you've been, it's been released in October, and already since then, you've been doing a lot of promotion of the book, many different places. You've been in Toronto. You're going to be in Sherbrooke on the 29th. You've been in Montreal, or you are in Montreal, one of the
I'm going to be in Montreal on the 28th.
Okay.
And they're going to, this is kind of fun. The pipe major for the Black Watch is going to pipe me into the Atwater Library.
That's fascinating.
Which is, I feel very honored, and I really, really love that idea. You know, it's going to be great fun for me to be part of that as it unfolds at 12:30 there at the Atwater Library.
That's going to be a lot of fun, very interesting. So it's definitely going to, I'm sure, be another bestseller along with your other books. It's nonfiction, so you must have had to do so much research. You must have been just scribbling notes the whole time you were in Scotland.
Yes, well, absolutely. I go around with a notebook in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, I access I live in Toronto, so there's all kinds of archives and so forth, and there's no shortage of material. That's another thing that surprised me. Well, it didn't quite really surprise me, but it did overwhelm me. I thought initially, well, let's see if I'm going to be able to make the case here, in effect,
mm-hmm.
if I can connect the dots. Well, I found that my challenge was not so much to connect the dots as to figure out who to leave out. When you start looking at individuals, I mean, if you look at just the Canadian prime ministers as an example, we've had 22 prime ministers, and 13 of them have a Scottish heritage.
You That's
know,
amazing.
More than half.
Yeah, amazing.
So it's things like that that just keep popping out of history and banging you over the head.
That's fascinating. Have you always been interested in history?
I've been interested in history for a long time. It just developed. I'm just thinking back. It didn't develop in high school so much. I was interested, but I wasn't too taken with the way history was being taught in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't really capture my attention until after I was going to university when I began to tune into it.
Okay, did you major in history?
I majored in, I took a couple of degrees in journalism and
mm-hmm.
Creative writing. I took a master's. I went in, both at Sir George there in Montreal and Ryerson in Toronto and University of British Columbia in Vancouver. So I bounced across the country a fair bit.
Good, and lots of experience, too, doing that.
Yeah, I'm a bear for punishment.
Now, how has the book been received so far?
Terrific.
Good.
The Globe and Mail ran a wonderful review,
mm-hmm.
just, I guess it was last weekend, by a very credible reviewer named Roy McSkimming, and there was a wonderful review in the Winnipeg Free Press. I'm hoping for more, of course. And another fun thing, Adventure Canada, the travel company based in Mississauga, is in the process of offering a prize of two free berths on this voyage. Sheena and I are going to be sailing around Scotland with Adventure Canada in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And a couple of people are going to win a voyage. There's about 100 passengers on board,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be two people that win the voyage free.
That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. If people keep an eye on my website,
mm-hmm.
KenMcGugan.com, and I have a blog on there as well. As soon as the details come up, I'll put up the links and so forth, and it's all the details are probably going to be turning up next Monday, I think.
Good. So it's an excellent website. I was there reading some information. So Ken McGugan. So it's K-E-N-M-C-G-O-O-G-A-N, and you said .com?
That's it.
Okay, and get all the information there and about your books, too. Now, if somebody wants to purchase the book, is it available in most bookstores across Canada? Or?
Yes, it is. It's available now. It's just going into the stores. I know it's there at the Bishop's University bookstore.
And that's a great bookstore. So Ken McGugan's latest novel, that will be available at the Bishop's University bookstore, How the Scots Invented Canada. And even more exciting, you're going to be giving a talk on Friday, October 29th, 4 p.m. at the Bishop's University bookstore, and a slideshow too, a PowerPoint. And if somebody wants you to sign their book, I would imagine that's possible too.
Absolutely. I'm going to be there, and I hope a few people will turn up, and I'll happily sign the books.
Good. That's going to be really exciting. So definitely we wish you all the success in your book. Anything else you wanted to mention before we go?
I think you've covered the bases awfully well. I'm looking forward to getting to Sherbrooke and spending a couple of days there.
Good. Have you been to Sherbrooke before?
Yes, I have.
Good.
Although it's been quite a while now, so I'm looking forward to getting back.
Oh, that's fun. Bishop's University campus, it's a great little university, too, and very picturesque. So
yes.
Look forward to meeting you next week.
Ah, likewise. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you. All the best.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye for now.